Our second reading is from John 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappers, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be here. To be here. In this sacred space, in this sacred time, thank you for allowing us the privilege to be able to just concentrate on you. Holy Spirit, give us the courage in this moment to concentrate on you. For this is about you. Jesus, this is so about you. I don't think many of us could be sitting here if it wasn't for you. I don't think many of us could have kept going in our life if it wasn't for you. I don't think many of us could have maintained hope and faith in a world that seems so dark if it wasn't for you. So thank you for just you being you. In your name, amen. I'm going to fix my rope. This is Resurrection Day. This is a powerful day. Just gonna hold it. I have a confession to make. I don't know if this is the time to do that confession. This is certainly the place. But I have a confession. I've been cheating. I'm a cheater. It doesn't feel good to cheat. It makes me question who I am. It makes me not know my own greatness. It makes me misunderstand my purpose. But I'm cheating. Now, I'm just speaking for me, what cheating does for me. It doesn't make me feel good. You see, I'm cheating on my faith with my suffering. I'm cheating on my faith with my suffering. You see, I have more of a relationship sometimes with my suffering than I do with my faith. My suffering just seems sexier to me sometimes. My suffering tells me who I should blame for me being in the predicament in my life that I'm in right now. My suffering tells me why I can't be great. My suffering tells me why I should give up. My suffering tells me why I am a victim of my story instead of being the hero in my life. I'm cheating, y'all. And it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good at all. Resurrection. This day, Resurrection Day, is about suffering. We like to go straight to the joy, but it's about suffering. You see, if Jesus hadn't suffered, the resurrection would not have happened. Jesus had to suffer for the resurrection to happen. If you want a resurrection in your life, you have to suffer. You have to suffer. Resurrection. The Greek word for resurrection is anastasis. Anastasis. And the meaning of that word is to rise again. It literally means to stand up. To stand up. When I think about resurrection, I think about hope holding my hand and faith being the wind at my back and both pushing me towards my divine destiny. That's what I feel when I think about resurrection. But it's hard to feel that in this world right now. It's hard to stand up when it feels like the pressures of the world are pushing your spine down and it's causing you to stand in one place, even though you want to run and move. It's hard to think about continuously going on and continuously standing up when the ills of society greet us at our door on a daily basis. As soon as we turn on the TV, it's there. It visits us or our children in their classrooms. It even occupies space in our spirit. Sometimes I have to knock down my suffering in order to feel the faith in my spirit, but I know I'm the only one. I'm the only one that has to do that. Resurrection Day. You know, many people call this day, it's Easter, all right. But you know, when I think about Easter, I think about observing a TV show. This is just me here. Here's a visit into my mind. It's very passive. It's Easter. It's pretty colors. Easter comes from a pre-Christian goddess named Oestra. It's German. I'm sure I'm not saying that correctly. I say it better when I pound my fist. Oestra. See, it sounded better though, didn't it? It's a pre-Christian goddess. And she represented newness and spring. So they're correct. Resurrection is about newness and spring and something new happening and the old going away, the suffering going away. But Resurrection Day is not a bystander sport. Did I say that correctly? Yes. We all should be transformed by this day. It's not a day that you sit on the sidelines and watch a show. It's a day where you actively participate in whatever way possible. Because don't you need a resurrection in your life? Who in here doesn't need a resurrection? If not personally for your life, thinking about the world. But you have to go through the suffering. Jesus suffered. My God, did he suffer. Now, I'm not just talking about the suffering on the cross when he was crucified, but I'm also talking about the suffering that happened before he got to the cross. I love Jesus. I'm not just saying that. I truly do. When I think about Jesus, so if Jesus was at a party, some of you all are not going to like, but it's okay, you'll get over. If Jesus was at a party, I would see Jesus as that guy or that person that all of a sudden you strike up a conversation with, and the conversation doesn't last too long, but it changes your life, and all of a sudden they go away, and you talk about that conversation for the rest of the day. Has that ever happened to you? And you're just like, who was that person? That's how I see Jesus. Is that when I meditate and when I'm one-on-one time with Jesus, something happens. And then it's just like it goes away. It stays within my spirit, but then it just goes away. And it makes me understand how much more I love him. I'm a chaplain at a psychiatric hospital, and one of the things I always tell my patients is, do you know Jesus loves you unconditionally? And they go, yes, we know, very polite, we know. I'm like, no, do you know that though? Do you know that it's without condition? It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, and who you've been with, and what you haven't done. Jesus loves you. Christianity has taken Jesus away from Christians. It's caused Christians to think they have to do X, Y, and Z and be X, Y, and Z just to have a relationship with Jesus. When Jesus says, I love you unconditionally. We're so broken, we can't even accept it as Christians. Can't even accept it. And Jesus suffered to give us that. So this day just isn't about Jesus, it's about all of us. This resurrection day is about and for all of us. Because the suffering that Jesus went through, we all went through some type of suffering like that. Jesus was rejected. When Jesus' ministry, the ministry of Jesus came out, he started to choose the people he wanted around him. He chose fishermen, and a tax collector. A tax collector during that time would be compared to, what do I want? Well, he just chose a tax collector. I'll just leave it at that. But he chose people that no one else would have chosen. He chose people that would have most likely been rejected, which means his ministry most likely would be rejected. Have you ever had a calling in your life and the calling outweighed the rejection that you thought about? Have you ever put yourself out there knowing, I may be rejected, but that's okay, this calling is too big. We have brothers and sisters, immigrant brothers and sisters right now that are just trying to come into this country, trying to get a better life, trying to say, I want more for my children. I know I may be rejected, but I need more than what I have. I don't feel like sitting here in this place where I'm limited. I want more. That's a calling. We have transgender brothers and sisters that are saying, I just want to live my life as I want to live it. I want to be myself. I have a calling to be myself. I know I may be rejected, but that's okay. My calling outweighs my rejection. Jesus was beaten, and killed. You know, one of the reasons that Jesus was beaten and killed, because the authority during that time didn't understand him. They didn't understand him whatsoever. But they chose not to understand him. See, they already judged him before they even spoke to him. So even when they talked to him, they already made up their minds who they thought he was. So they weren't listening. They were just trying to create evidence to support who they thought him to be. That's why they beat him. That's why they killed him. He didn't talk the way they talked. He didn't dress the way they dressed. Right now, there's so many black and brown brothers and sisters that are being killed right now. They've already been judged before they've been spoken to. They've already been sentenced before they've even had a chance to get into court. The last killing that was just done in Sacramento, he was judged before he had a chance to even speak, because they already sentenced him. They were just looking for supportive evidence. Oh, that's a phone? No, it's a gun. I knew it was a gun. I'm just looking for evidence to support what I feel. That's why Jesus was beaten. They were just looking for evidence to support what they wanted him to be. You can't be great. That's not what I want you to be. Jesus was lonely. Have you ever been lonely? Jesus was with a crowd of people. He was with 12 disciples on a daily basis. He was lonely. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he just asked them, listen, I'm going to be a stone's throw away. I'm going to go pray. Can you just stay right here? I'm going to go pray. I know you can't experience what I'm about to experience, but I just need your presence. Jesus goes away to pray. He comes back. They're sleeping. How are you sleeping? Don't you hear me suffering right there? Don't you know that I'm suffering and you're falling asleep on me? I know you can't deal with what I'm dealing with, but I just need you right now to be a presence. I need you to stay awake. Just for me. Can you stay awake while I'm suffering? You may not understand it, but just stay awake. Then he felt abandoned by God. I know no one in here has ever felt abandoned by God. You go to church. But he felt abandoned by God. I mean, he was on the cross and said, God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, he was overwhelmed with pain and he couldn't feel the one eternal being that guided him to that point. He said, why have you forsaken me? This pain is too much. I don't feel you anymore. I know you were guiding me, but right now this pain is too overwhelming. All I do is feel this pain. Have you ever been there where you just was overwhelmed with pain? And you couldn't experience God. Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered. But what Jesus was doing was walking in the shadow of the cross that entire time. I mean, he probably knew it, but the disciples didn't know it. They were all walking in the shadow of the cross. They were all walking in the shadow of this divine purpose by God. We all have a personal cross, a personal shadow of the cross that we're walking in. So what is the shadow of the cross? I'm going to say this really quickly. Shadow of the cross. It's that pain that transforms your life. It's that hurt that you never forget about. It's no matter how much you accomplish, how much money you make, how many goals you complete, it's that hurt that follows you. Day in and day out. I'll give you an example. My mother passed away 5 years ago. If you're around me long enough, you'll hear me talk about my mother. I will never meet anyone like her. But my mother passed away 5 years ago. My life forever now is before my mother's death and after my mother's death. I didn't know that entire time I was walking in the shadow of my mother's death. It's that pain that transformed my life. It's that pain that shifted my spirit. It's that pain that made me drop to my knees and not care where I was. It's that pain that made me cry out, not knowing if God was hearing me. That's the shadow of my cross that I walk in on a daily basis. But how you walk in the shadow of the cross, of your cross, depends on whether you get to your resurrection. I'm going to explain. There were two groups of people, Sadducees and the Pharisees. Okay, no. One group, Sadducees and Pharisees, another group, disciples. Sadducees and Pharisees knew church. They knew church. They knew the laws, the rituals. I remember my first semester in seminary because I went to church consistently with my family from the age of 6 to 10. After that, it was very sporadic. I didn't know church. So my first semester in seminary, they were using church words, and I was like, what is liturgy? I'm going to be honest. And they said, oh, that's the order of worship. I'm like, oh, this is church. This is church. But the Sadducees and the Pharisees knew church. They knew the rituals. They knew the prayers. They defined their personal life and their professional life by the fact that they were authorities in the temple. And then Jesus comes and interrupts and disrupts every bit of what they thought about themselves, of how they defined themselves. You ever been so attached to a definition of yourself and someone comes and disrupts it and makes you uncomfortable? So Jesus comes and disrupts and interrupts everything they thought, everything they believed. I mean, Jesus was doing miracles and blessing people on the Sabbath, and they don't see the blessing. All they see is, wait a minute, you can't help somebody on the Sabbath. Think how that sounds. You can't help somebody on the Sabbath. I don't care if you're making their life easier, making them happy, and bringing them joy. You can't do that. They were so much in the suffering, in the shadow of the cross. They were bathing in the suffering. They were eating. They ate suffering. They ate it so much they couldn't see the blessings. Have you ever been in suffering so much that all you do is see the suffering? Somebody come up and tell you a good word and you're like, oh, be quiet. I don't want to hear that word today. I'm suffering. Don't interrupt my suffering. So that was the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They just bathed in suffering. And then the disciples. I'm so glad Jesus chose these group of people to be disciples. Just think, if Jesus had chosen the Sadducees and the Pharisees to be his disciples, I wouldn't be a pastor. That's just too much perfection for me. But the disciples were walking with Jesus. Looking, this is how I picture it. Watching Jesus do miracles and going, yes, that's amazing. Isn't that amazing what he does? But not being transformed by it. You know, the disciples did not want to hear about suffering. You know, during these times, how things got around were people talked. You know, people talked. That's how they found out things. You mean to tell me the disciples didn't understand that the Sadducees and the Pharisees were planning something against Jesus? They didn't want it nothing to do with suffering. I mean, another example is when Jesus fed the 5,000 people, more than 5,000, 5,000 the men were counted, but fed the 5,000 people. When Jesus fed them, before he fed them, the disciples said, listen, you need to let them go because it's getting late and they're probably going to be hungry. The disciples weren't trying to help them in their suffering. There was a moment when the disciples were walking with Jesus and a person was coming up behind and was screaming, trying to get Jesus' attention. And the disciples turned around and said, in so many words, why don't you be quiet? Come on, Jesus. They're just screaming. I don't know why they're screaming. The only thing the disciples want to know, yeah, I know you're saying something about you're going to suffer, Jesus, but listen, who's the greatest? No, really, Jesus, who's the greatest? Yeah, you're going to suffer, but who's the greatest? Disciples were total opposite from the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They ignored suffering. I don't want to hear about suffering. I don't want anything to do with suffering. I don't want to see anyone suffer. I don't want to even deal with my own suffering. Let me just keep moving. Let me just keep watching things go by. I don't want to be transformed. I'm just trying to make it through. Jesus was able to get to his resurrection because he walked in his suffering. So we have the Sadducees and the Pharisees that were consumed by suffering. Disciples ignored suffering. Jesus just walked in the suffering. You want a resurrection in your own life, you have to walk in your suffering. It's not pretty. It's not easy. But you have to walk in your suffering. You have to walk in your suffering. Martin Luther King walked in his suffering. The only way he was able to change things, what racism was going on back then, because it's still happening now, but the racism that was so prevalent back then is because he walked in his suffering and allowed a resurrection to happen of what the racist things that were going on during that time. Malala, young girl from Pakistan that was shot in the face because she just wanted to go to school. She was brave enough to walk in her suffering. Brave enough to walk in her suffering. Do you know what's happening now in Pakistan? She has a foundation for girls to go to school. If she had never walked in her suffering, that resurrection in that country would never have happened. Here's the thing, if you still haven't gotten it, the suffering is about you. The resurrection is about people you haven't even met yet. Your suffering is about you. But the resurrection that's going to happen after your suffering is for the people you haven't met yet. Jesus Christ walked in his suffering so the resurrection could happen for us. He didn't even meet us. Sometimes we get caught up in our suffering and we become selfish in our suffering. We become egotistical in our suffering. We become so bewildered in our suffering that we think, oh, it's just about me. Faith isn't just about you. Faith is about community. So if you think your suffering is just about you, I wonder, will you make it to your resurrection? Lastly, I had a conversation with a pastor, Yvette Flunder, and we were just talking, and she said, do you know why the world, one of the reasons the world is in the state it's in? And I said, why? And she said, because people don't want to walk in their suffering. And it forever stayed with me because of things I was going through, things I knew about people in my life that they were going through. She said, when you don't walk in your suffering, you take detours. You begin to take detours. You stop looking at God and you start looking at yourself, and we're limited in what we can do. We're limited in our understanding, but we have to walk through our suffering. Oh, resurrection. Resurrection is a wonderful experience because with the resurrection, it means your suffering doesn't have a period, but it has a semicolon. Your suffering doesn't have a period, but it has a semicolon. That means that there's something after your suffering. That means you don't have to give up in your suffering. That means that your suffering cannot define you, but it will refine you so you can go on to your resurrection. Oh, you don't know. You're here in this room, not by accident, listening to this message, not by accident. This same message would not have probably been given someplace else, but this day God is giving you this message because someone in here is suffering and you're questioning your resurrection, you're questioning yourself. Guess what? Keep walking in your suffering because your resurrection is about to come. Amen, y'all.